that this was a bait.
If we go back to the years when the motion picture film was created by a human and see that era's reflection of society on pictures, we will find women's clothes very different. In 1895, the first film in human history. Let's go back to the past again, about 300 years ago. In 1600s BC, the fashionable clothes were mostly worn by women of cultural society and rich women. Full dresses with some layers and very beautiful. Although ordinary people's clothes were simple, but they were without nudity. We cannot see much difference in clothes until 100 years later. Similarly, beautiful clothes, either luxurious or simple. In 1800s, hats became common and fashionable. In this century, Victorian and Edwardian hats were presented to people, and this clothing style was same until early 1900s. In second decade of 20th century, about 1920s, simultaneously with fast and vast spread of cinema, a film named Flapper was shown, which was completely different from those days' customs and brought unusual clothing style among women. Flapperism wave began with unusual symbols like wearing men's clothes, drinking alcohol, and smoking cigarettes explicitly, free sexual relationship even with people of the same gender, heavy makeup, and short hairstyles. After many years, the traditions were broken, clothes became tighter, and as a result, women behavior changed. What was accepted by women and society for 500 years faded in less than 30 years in a way that it didn't accept any limitation for showing women's body. Since this decade, by cinema help, fashion has become an industry and a widespread social custom, and for the first time, it was presented like today's form.
Hi, my name is Cameron Russell, and for the last little while, I've been a model, actually for 10 years. And I feel like there's an uncomfortable tension in the room right now, because I should not have worn this dress. So, luckily, I brought an outfit change. Image is powerful, and I am on this stage because I am a model. I'm on this stage because I am a pretty white woman, and I'm going to answer the questions that people always ask me, but with an honest twist. For the past few centuries, we have defined beauty not just as health and youth and symmetry that we're biologically programmed to admire, but also as tall, slender figures and femininity and white skin. When I was researching this talk, I found out that of the 13-year-old girls in the United States, 53% don't like their bodies. And that number goes to 78% by the time that they're 17. So the last question people ask me is, you know, what is it like to be a model? And I think the answer that they're looking for is, if you are a little bit skinnier and you have shinier hair, you will be so happy and fabulous. But they're only one half of the story, because the thing that we never say on camera, that I have never said on camera, is I am insecure. And I'm insecure because I have to think about what I look like every day. If there's a takeaway to this talk, I hope it's that we all feel more comfortable acknowledging the power of image in our perceived successes and our perceived failures.
And by help of pictures' magic, all people's dreams are to be similar to her, and getting close to this dream gives dieting industries $40 billion every year. As a result, according to America's National Eating Disorders Association, 80% of all 10-year-olds are afraid of being fat, and 42% of all first through third grade girls want to be thinner. The toy shows girls' future appearance instead of being today's playing doll. Ironically, it is free and light in clothing.
I ask any woman, and I say, if you wear very little light clothes, will you feel strong to do this interview? You want? And she says, no. I mean, it is nature. It's not only show off, but you want to, when you want to be strong, you cannot do this naked. You cannot see seriously. Even the most modern people, you cannot see seriously a woman with light clothes into asking a high skilled job. You have seen all the executives, the high executives, they wear suits, right? They wear suits. That means that if they want to be serious, they have to be dressed.
And yet Jennifer Lawrence tells Elle magazine, in Hollywood, I'm obese. I'm considered a fat actress. But just take a look at the 22-year-old Oscar-nominated actress on the cover of the December issue of Elle. Is this the new definition of fat? She says, I eat like a caveman. I'll be the only actress who doesn't have anorexia rumors.
Isabel Caro is as shocking a poster girl as you will ever see. Last month, the anorexic woman who weighs less than 70 pounds appeared on billboards in Milan, the fashion center of Italy. Looking at her made us wonder if she would actually survive. CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker went to Paris to learn more about her.
It was part of an Italian attempt to raise awareness of the disease in the fashion industry. Isabel Caro was the model.
When did you realize that this disease, this illness, could kill you?
It was when I went into a coma about a year and a half ago, and really up to then I didn't realize. I saw death coming for me. I saw what all those people describe when they survive an accident, when they really come close to dying. At that stage, I freaked out. I was so afraid that I took hold of myself, and I said, I have to do something, because I won't have a second chance. I really wanted to live.
How difficult was it to literally begin to eat again?
My stomach rejected everything, so it was very, very hard. I had to get used to eating again, little bites and lots of liquids.
A French model who campaigned against anorexia has died at the age of 28. Isabel Caro posed nude for an awareness campaign while suffering from the disease. It's thought she died last month, but her family asked for her death to be kept private.
Although this model's death was kept secret from medias, ANAD, Anorexia Nervosa and Associated Disorders, reports that the illness is the main cause of death among 14 to 24-year-old American females. 12 times higher than other causes. Are these really beauty criteria? It is wondering what has happened that even a simple head covering is just intolerable to this society, a society that once spoke about Jesus Christ's teachings.
Yes, the hijab, I think, is the whole challenge even though that Greece is a Christian Orthodox country. And my grandmother was wearing a hijab, a headscarf, like you Iranians wear with the knot in the front. It was a common image, but it was like a symbol of an older age, let's say, the older years. But even the Orthodox Christian should wear, while they go to the church, should wear the headscarf.
Have they forgotten their lost generation? No. They even remember St. Mary's pictures and paintings so clearly that Italy's former Minister of the Interior, Roberto Maroni, says that if the Virgin Mary appears wearing a veil on all her pictures, how can you ask me to sign on a hijab ban law? What has really happened to women of our age?
When you see women who have no ideology, no political position, no religion, no, only they're in the flow of the mainstream, of the trend to go successful and more money, only money, change my car every 2 years, change my phone every 6 months. All this is a trick.
As they try to change our tradition, our faith, make the young girls try to be as American stars, have the same clothes, the same ideas, everything.
Of course, many children have more bitter fate. During three past decades, abortion rate has increased. In Canada, with a population of 33 million people, abortion rate is more than 100,000 a year, 274 abortions a day. Every 22 seconds, an infant put in death hands by its parents before seeing sunshine. Approximately one out of three women abort once in her life before age of 45, that 58% of them are in their 20s and also teens. Mostly 18 to 19 are accounted for fewer than 2 in 10 of all abortion. According to Institute for American Values report, 40% of young boys and girls agreed with white marriage rather than legal marriage to be sure more. Obviously, this thought is a result of phenomenon of common law marriage instead of legal marriage. This is not just statistics, but is a lifestyle, and family sounds to be probably at the end of daily list of this lifestyle.
Dictators wanted the women to stay in a low level, in any way, or very modern, uneducated.
It is surprising that the governments that are supporters of women's rights have no change with dictators who have this kind of thought. The fact is that their goals are the same. Both of these two attitudes towards women have appropriately come together to take her thought and humanistic values. When women lose the essence of their existence and humanity and just rely on their sexuality, the family and then society will lose its essence and gentility. And what object can be more impressive than clothing? Joel Kotkin, an author and social researcher, believes that by 1885, Jews could control 90% of fur industry and the whole of clothing industry in America. This industry became the third big industry of the U.S. The Jews' most power in America's clothing industry is in 1920s at the same time of their dominance over cinema in the country and production of flapper film and fashion. Also, today different brands such as Saint Laurent belonging to Yves Laurent, Guess belonging to Marciano Brothers, Jordache belonging to Nikish Brothers, Polo belonging to Ralph Lauren, Pierre Cardin belonging to Cardin, Coco Chanel of Wertheimer Brothers, and thousands of other familiar brands are in our lives. Their empire has continued and attracted people's minds and thoughts by their names. These brands are extremely interested in sexual show of women and immature teens' bodies in their advertisements. But fashion industry cannot do this big destruction alone. Bob Pittman, one of popular MTV channel managers, says that at MTV, we don't just shoot for the 14-year-olds. We own them. MTV and Nickelodeon are belonging to famous Jew Samuel Redstone. Nickelodeon's deputy, Bruce Friend, also says that in the last 10 years, we've seen a rapid development of upper-age children. The 12 to 14-year-olds of yesterday are 10 to 12s of today.
The woman is the one who keeps the link of the family. So they target the woman, so they target their generations to come. So after they target the woman, they start opening the society, and you go the whole society. So a woman can affect the whole society.
We see that they have a particular mechanism which they employ to gain control. And when I'm talking about it, it's very interesting to see that it's not just the Muslim countries that are facing this arrogance. It is all the countries in the third world are facing this arrogance.
People get the fast food, the fast messages. This is what they created. We don't read books anymore, and the history has 50 years now distorted. It was something very, very strange, but they brought something like fashion. But it was a plan. It was not fashion. Fashion is something you cannot define as you go naked, so you're in fashion. It was a plan to destroy the role of the family. This is a big mistake because women have not understood that this was a bait, and they catch the bait, and now they are into this.
As if women of modern age have been attracted to this sweet trickery again and grabbed the bitter apple of Satan among their fingers.
A woman, not only a Muslim woman, but every woman in the world, can have many roles. She can be a worker, a mother, she can be a wife, she can be a friend. I mean, there are so different roles that she has to attend. A Muslim woman has also one more, is to show Islam, to live Islam.
Yes, it's true that most of the intellectual activities that have happened outside the locus of our Muslim world has strengthened a very unipolar world of what we call as USA, or what we call as the European Empire. And these movements have come together with Zionism to work at destroying something that they fear a lot, which is Islam, which is the actual subscription to those values that they just do lip service to.
You have to be very strong. And if the woman gets strong, she's dangerous to the system. Free spirits are dangerous to the system. The system wants people who are obedient, people who obey. You have to fight with education also. The Muslim woman, to tell you simply, work actively. Not sit down and say, oh, you're so good, I'm so good. No, 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 we have to finish with that. We have to work and study and show Islam in action. This is it, simple as that.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
practice.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism. This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech on Arab English Radio, Call of Islam page. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qumi. Stay tuned.
از جمله واژه‌هایی که گاهی مورد ستم قرار می‌گیره همین واژه صبر.
Among the terms that are sometimes distorted in meaning are sabr or patience and forbearance. This term has been used frequently in Islamic texts and hadith. Sabr does not mean to be oppressed and does not defend your right. Prophet Muhammad used to always say utlub haqqak, which means ask for your right. This means to be after your rights and not be oppressed, whether it is your personal life or social life.
یه حدیث خیلی خیلی کوتاه ولی خیلی زیباست. من میخونم شما تو ذهنتون حتما میمانه.
Prophet Muhammad, in a very short but beautiful hadith, stated, "A person who is trapped by the deceptions of others is neither rewarded nor admired by Allah." We Muslims must be careful not to be trapped easily. Sometimes we are trapped by our wrong decisions, and still we want Allah to solve our problems. We must be responsible for our deeds. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Husseini Qumi. To find out more about this program, log on to our website, parstoday.com/en-islam-page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight. With the increase in the prices of gas, electricity, gasoline, and the intensifying inflationary pressure on the consumers, one out of every six American households is unable to pay their electricity bills. Most Americans do not accept President Joe Biden's explanation for the higher prices of gasoline and fuel, and say he has performed poorly in managing the U.S. economy in general. The U.S. President Joe Biden claims that Russia is responsible for the increase in the price of oil and gas, but a new opinion poll shows that only 1 in 10 Americans, or about 11%, agree with this explanation. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at some of the U.S. media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The New York Times reports, gas, electricity, and gasoline prices in the United States are creeping higher, reversing a months-long streak of declines and chipping away at a potent talking point for the Joe Biden administration, which had been emphasizing its success at easing pressure on the American public since this summer. Though the uptick has followed a rise in crude oil prices, analysts point out to two new factors that are also pushing gas and gasoline prices higher: a loss of refining capacity in California and Ohio, and rising demand in recent weeks. According to data from the American Automobile Association, the AAA, the national average price of regular gasoline stood at $3.89 a gallon on Friday, 7th of October, climbing for more than 2 weeks. That's lower than the record of about $5.02 a gallon reached in June of this year, but still higher than usual for this time of the year. Prices have made a particularly big leap in California. At about $6.39 a gallon, prices are close to the state's June record of $6.44 a gallon. Gas prices there and in other western states, including in Nevada and Arizona, jumped after several refineries in the region closed for maintenance. The rise, should it last, could increase pressure on the White House to act quickly to bring down prices. A spike in gas prices, which followed a surge in crude oil and other energy costs after Russia's conflict with Ukraine, became both a political liability and a policy headache, as consumer prices rose across the board. President Joe Biden, who over the summer responded to the increase in gas prices by chiding energy companies for profiteering on consumers, released oil from strategic reserves and encouraged Saudi Arabia to produce more oil. Gas prices eventually started to decline. The global oil prices tumbled amid rising concern about the slowing of global economy and demand eased. The recent jump means White House officials have been pressed to address the issue once again. Brian Deese, the director of the National Economic Council, said on Thursday, 6th of October, that energy companies need to lower prices at the petrol pump. Analysts say the refinery shutdowns will be temporary, and the fact that Americans tend to drive less in the winter months could keep prices from climbing as sharply as they did back in June. But a recent rebound in crude oil prices, which rose nearly 17% this week as the world's major oil producers agreed to cut production, means predicting what's next will be difficult. The Hill has covered the same story, but from a different angle. According to a Gallup poll released recently, the American public's view of the economy are declining as gas prices are rising. 2/3 of the American public surveyed in the poll conducted recently said that gas prices are causing a moderate or severe financial hardship on their household. That figure marks an increase of 15 percentage points from the 52% who said the same back in April, and is among the highest that Gallup has found when posing the question during periods of gas price increases since 2000. Meanwhile, Gallup's Economic Confidence Index, a summary of Americans' ratings of current economic conditions and outlook for the economy's future, dropped 13 percentage points from last month to minus 58. The index ranges from 100 if all respondents describe the economy positively to minus 100 if all respondents describe the economy negatively. The index's current score is the lowest since February of 2009, when the country was still experiencing the Great Recession. The all-time low was minus 72, recorded back in October of 2008. 8 out of 10 surveyed adults in households earning less than $40,000 a year said gas prices have caused a financial hardship, and 4 out of 10 describe it as severe. Almost 3/4 of respondents from the households earning between $40,000 and $99,999 reported a hardship, and 40% called it severe. Half of respondents from households earning more than $100,000 a year reported a hardship, and 22% called it severe. Aside from the political consequences, a sustained rise in gas prices could affect how businesses and consumers view the U.S. economy. In July, falling gas prices were a key part of the better-than-expected reading of the Consumer Price Index, the CPI, offering a brief glimmer of hope to those looking for signs that inflation has peaked. Russia Today has also covered the same story. According to a Rasmussen poll published recently, just 11% of the American public believe Russian President Vladimir Putin is to blame for record-high gas prices in the United States. The majority instead blame President Joe Biden. More than half, or 52% of respondents to the Rasmussen poll conducted recently, pointed to President Biden's poor energy policies as the reason gas prices have become unaffordable, meaning the administration's Putin's price hike narrative does not appear to be catching on. Those who blame neither Joe Biden nor Vladimir Putin point their fingers at oil companies, with 29% of respondents suggesting the industry is leveraging the current geopolitical instability to jack up its prices. Perhaps aware that his Putin's price hike narrative no longer holds water, Joe Biden has been leaning towards blaming oil and gas companies for the ruinous costs of fueling up, recently accusing the industry of making more money than God. President Biden has insisted that oil companies are deliberately holding back from drilling because they make more money not producing more oil. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen recently warned that gas prices may spike again this winter. In an interview with CNN, Janet Yellen said gas prices could rise due to the European Union largely halting Russian oil purchases this winter and banning provision of services that allow Russia to ship oil by tanker. Janet Yellen said it is possible that could cause a spike in oil prices. The price of gas is widely viewed as a critical issue heading into the midterm elections this November. Some 92% of voters saw the rising price of gas, home heating oil, and other fuels as a serious problem in recent opinion poll, with 68% of the American public calling the problem very serious. With no sign of an economic turnaround and elections coming this November, the Democratic Party is likely to be blamed for voters' economic suffering, and both houses of Congress may end up under Republican control.
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. Are going to talk about some of the Islamic laws about medical issues and conditions according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography and we'll be back. Don't go away.
Little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh, The standard time for studying the Muqaddimat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtaza Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, "We testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up till 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the medical issues and the laws about them, Islamic laws, according to the fatwas of Ayatollah Khomeini, I would like to ask you this question. This is something that we've been talking about, some of the methods of contraception before in the previous programs, but now I would like to ask you about the abortion, you know. Is it permissible according to the Islamic laws to have an abortion because of reasons such as, for example, economic flights?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Generally speaking, it is not permissible for a couple to go for abortion, to choose to abort to terminate the pregnancy or to abort a child at any stage of the conception. Let's say, for example, that the woman has conceived and it's only 1 week that she has conceived a child. It's not permissible. If there is no, for example, hardship, unbearable hardship, or any problem that is intolerable, it is not permissible to abort the child. Now, when it comes to economic problems, of course, it is not permissible under any circumstances to have an abortion because the Quran actually says, "La taqtulu awladakum khashyat imlaq." Okay, do not kill your children for fear of hunger or you know, starvation.
Yes,
the Quran is very clear when it comes to having abortion or killing a child. You know,
right.
And of course, when a child is conceived, that is a child. Even if that child is not born yet, but it's not forbidden to abort the child at any stage of pregnancy. Of course, there are exceptions, but when it comes to economic problems, the couple is healthy and there's no problem other than the economic problem,
right.
Of course, it's not permissible under any circumstances, even when there are fear of shortage of food or something like that, you know, financial support. Maybe the father is very much afraid or anxious or worried about how to provide for the child. Of course, such concerns are irrelevant. And it, you know, if there is someone who has this worry and who worries about how to, you know, support the family or the child, of course, this kind of worry suggests that he does not have confidence and trust in Allah.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a person is confident and trusts God, God himself promises that he himself will provide for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's not the father, it's it's Allah himself
who is the sustainer.
Sure.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue along the same lines of these questions about the Islamic laws related to the medical issues in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and our guest speaker, Sheikh Javed. As always, we are talking about some of the Islamic laws related to the medical issues. Well, Sheikh Javed, let me ask you this question, because this is also a prevalent kind of question, and these scenarios that we face today in this life, in this day and age. In the early months of her pregnancy, the doctor told the mother that continuing with the pregnancy might pose a danger to her life, or in other words, endanger her life.
Sure.
He further advised the doctor that the baby might be born or would be born deformed, right?
Yes.
In the light of the doctor's findings, the doctor advised the mother to have an abortion. Is this course of action permissible according to the Islamic laws? And is it permissible to terminate the pregnancy before the soul, of course, before the soul enters the body of the fetus?
Well, I got your question, and I learned that, of course, the reason for having abortion is the deformity problem. Some children are born deformed, and of course, having a deformed baby, according to Islamic Sharia, is not a valid or a legal reason to terminate the pregnancy. Of course, that the couple are unfortunate because of the fact that they are going to have a deformed baby in the future. But deformity is not a valid excuse for terminating the pregnancy, even if the soul has not yet entered the child, the fetus, okay? Mm. It's not permissible to abort that child. But when it comes to danger, of course, danger, if the life, the mother's life, is endangered because of carrying the baby or because of being pregnant with the child, of course she can have abortion to protect herself, to save her life, because the mother's life is more important than that of the child. And of course there is no objection to her aborting the fetus prior to the soul entering the fetus. That's very important, because when the soul enters the fetus, or when the soul is infused into the according to the Quranic term, which says the soul is whispered into the fetus. That's the term. Of course, in that case, it's not permissible, because the child is alive, okay, and it's not permissible to have abortion when the child has is alive and its heart is beating and the soul has entered it, And of course, in that case, there are other scenarios which the parents or the couple should see and go through.
But regarding the deformity, the intellect tells us that it's illogical and not only not economical actually to raise a child which is deformed, because both economically speaking and also reasonably, it's not logical actually to raise a child which is deformed, but not only for the parents but also for the child, the very child himself or herself, because deformities might threaten somehow his or her existence in today's life. But regarding that, there is this interesting question about the deformity I would like to ask you. With the help of modern technology, the doctors can now identify the congenital deformities of the fetus during pregnancy, right? Yes. Because of the difficulties babies born with deformities facing today's life, is it permissible to terminate the pregnancy if it is found by a reliable specialist, of course, that the fetus has developed any deformity?
Okay. First of all, I would like to say that, deformity is deformity, but, there are different degrees of deformity. And whatever the degree, according to Ayatollah Khamenei, may Allah grant him long life, it is not permissible to abort the fetus at any stage for the mere reason that the fetus is deformed. The answer is clear. And it's also not permissible for the couple or for the wife to abort the fetus for future difficulties that the child is going to encounter, because a deformed child will definitely encounter lots of problems. For example, if the child does not have an eye, or if he does not have a limb, so definitely he will encounter problems. He will not live like an ordinary or a regular individual. So as a deformed child, he will be ostracized or marginalized in the society, and he will not benefit from the advantages other people do. So, but that is not an excuse, and that's not a valid reason for abortion.
I see. Thank you very much, Javed, for your answers to these questions of Islamic laws related to the medical issues in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو رحيم محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.